Blog Talk Radio.
Fuck up! And don't be pulling that falling down the stairs shit on me, you hear? Are you conscious?
Shoot, every month the same damn thing. Show you the truth.
Hey, hey, hey. It's Monday night, and we are on a Monday night episode of The Big Freaking Circus. I'm actually waiting for our co-host, Herbs, to come back on because I saw that his line dropped, and so we'll be waiting on him for a sec. But I want to introduce tonight's topics. First of all, my name is Yaya, one of the co-hosts of this awesome show. It has been a couple of weeks since I have hosted because I had personal business to attend to. But I'm back now, and I really want to thank Herb for taking over and for Danielle for co-hosting the first week I was gone. That is very awesome of anyone who decides to spend that much time with Herb because, well, it's Herb we're talking about. So, hey, Herb.
Hey, fuck you. Fuck you. What's cracking?
I was saying how awesome you are. What are you talking about?
Sounds like horseshit to me.
What's going on, dude? Did you hear our introduction clip?
No, I did not. I was having some technical difficulties over here.
Oh, okay. Well, I played some "Coming to America" just to entertain you, and you were off that whole "Don't pull that falling down the stairs" shit either. So, what's going on, dude?
I'm good, man. Everything's good. My birthday is coming up, so I'm just preparing for that.
Yeah. Again, since you're on the line now, thank you for taking over as always. I really appreciate it because sometimes stuff runs into each other, like, you know, being a mule and helping my family jump the border sometimes.
Yeah, and then
takes up my time.
On the weekend.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the life of Yaya, what can you do about it? So thanks again, and thanks for always finding an awesome co-host or just doing it all yourself. I'm sorry that Blog Talk has such awful, awful audio sometimes. Yeah. And again, sorry to the callers for last night. Blog Talk was probably going through its, like, whole new system change or something because it seems to be a nice new studio in here. I don't know if you came in here and saw it, but looks like they made some changes. Still doesn't make up for the shitty-ass service they have, but we'll deal.
Yeah, hopefully they did something with the audio. Spent a good amount of time last night looking up some alternatives, so we'll
see. We'll talk about that. Yeah. So go ahead and introduce the topics. I'm ready.
Well, tonight we have, in our first hour, we're going to talk about how the media portrays whites and non-whites, like when it comes to, like, commission of a crime or even when we kind of talk about victims of a crime, the media tends to portray a non-white person in a negative way as opposed to a white person. Like, you think about, like, just recently, the plane crash and how they're, you know, the picture that they're painting is that, but we'll get to that. And then in our second hour, we're going to talk about body counts. We're talking sexual body counts, like how many people have you fucked? And does it matter? Like, does a high number matter? Does a low number matter? Should you even ask? And if asked, should you even answer? And is there a double standard? You know, because it goes the whole back to, you know, a girl sleeping with a lot of dudes and she's a slut and dude sleeping with a lot of girls and he's a stud, so we're going to discuss that. But first, let's talk about the media and how they've been how they tend to portray whites and non-whites when it comes down to shit. Like, we all know, it's no secret if you pay attention, it's drastically different. And not only is it drastically different how people are portrayed, it's drastically different, the kind of coverage and the amount of coverage that whites and non-whites get in the media, that they receive in the media. Nobody receives more attention in the media than a kidnapped pretty white woman.
Oh, yeah. Not
or
even.
A murdered pretty white woman. Right? Nobody gets more press than that. That is the penultimate of, like, you know, media coverage. Pretty black woman, you know what I mean? It depends. But they pick and choose, you know? They pick and choose what they want to cover and how they want to cover it. When it comes to victims of a crime, for instance, you have the young man who was found hanging from a tree. What was that, in Missouri? It was a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or was it in Ohio? I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe it was Missouri.
They found him hanging from a tree. Let me see if I can look it up. We can talk about that. But he was found hanging from a tree. And first they said that it was suicide. It was in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Mississippi.
The birthplace of lynching?
The birthplace of lynching. You know what I mean? So,
the cradle or birthplace, one of them, close enough.
Yeah. So, first they said it was suicide. And, you know, and then they came back, you know, a few days later and said, oh, no, it wasn't a suicide. Because there was nothing under him. Like, I don't know why that wasn't figured out when they first announced that it was suicide. You know what I mean? Like, like you announced, that says to me that you announced that it was suicide before there was any investigation whatsoever. Because
right.
I don't give a fuck. Because I don't give a fuck what shit town you live in Mississippi. I'm sure the most basic fucking crime scene investigator, the first thing he's going to fucking look for is what did he stand on? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, first of all, you don't make a conjecture without, you know, looking at the evidence first, which is basic shit.
Right. It's just basic shit. Now, but here's the thing. Here's the kicker, though. Now, it's clear that he's the victim, yes?
Mm-hmm. The dead one.
So explain to me why we're talking about his criminal record.
Because he's
explain
black.
Explain to me why, if we're talking about a victim, we're using his mugshot in the media coverage.
Because he's black.
You know what I mean? Now, juxtapose that with the coverage of this jackass who killed all these people in this airplane, the co-pilot.
On purpose.
On purpose, right? On purpose, he killed 150 people. 150 people he killed, including himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
So he's basically a white suicide bomber.
White suicide bomber. White terrorist.
Well,
now,
pretty much.
Now, the media has been finding every excuse but the right excuse for why he
right.
did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I say every motherfucking excuse, I'm talking every motherfucking
Everyone.
Excuse.
Everyone.
Just 2 days ago, they said that this motherfucker was like, has sought, like, an eye exam. like right before this
wow.
shit, like, he needed an eye exam. Like, are you fucking serious? Like, are you fucking
yep.
serious?
Yep.
Like, they're finding every excuse that they can find to not label him what the fuck he is, and that's goddamn mass murderer.
Yes, exactly. Terrorist, hoodlum, thug, savage.
Now, everybody knows that if he was any other color but white, he would be everything but troubled. He'd be everything but troubled. Like, nobody would be sitting around saying how troubled he was, or, you know, what his personal problems were, or what kind of medical problems. And nobody would be discussing that shit at fucking all. All we would be discussing is how much of a fucking monster he is.
And how basically his pathology led him to killing all those people.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I was going to give more of an educated discourse on it, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing much to say, in my opinion, than we see it every day. If you're just learning this, any of our listeners, that this is surprising to you, it's only because white supremacy is so universal. And white supremacy makes it to where these things don't seem abnormal because it caters to a white state of mind. And so this is one of the things that I've been pointing out when we do shows about race and difference in race and how things are covered, is that we're speaking of white supremacy, which we are all victims of, which we all cater to. We've all fallen victim to this way of life because it's all that we know. America started on white supremacy. I mean, quote unquote, started on white supremacy. So for many of us, our first reaction might be like, why does everything have to be about race? Well, I'm sorry, because it is. And if it surprises you or if it bothers you, you've been brainwashed basically or bred on white supremacy, which tells us that Black people, anybody non-white, their pathology is automatically criminal and vicious. Our past since we are born, our children since we are born, we're apt to just be criminals. And so, of course, it doesn't seem weird that we would frame stories of Black life or Latino life or any non-white life as criminal or aggressive or vicious. So with that said, you have to understand that race does play a major part in everyday narratives, which you see in the media, which you hear. It's all framed under the lens of white supremacy. So under that basis, we have this conversation. And Race Forward, an organization, put out an awesome, awesome, awesome study last year that is entitled Moving the Race Conversation Forward, How the Media Covers Racism and Other Barriers to Productive Racial Discourse, where they lay out the 7 dangerous practices that the media takes part in that stops us as Americans who, you know, watch television, movies, from actually moving forward in race relations. And anybody can get it if you go to raceforward.org. The study is there. You can download it. And it gives you a very clear picture on how white supremacy really, really, really treats people of color in a very different, very myopic view as to white people. And the thing about it is while it may seem that Urban Eye do shows that hate on white people, what it is what we dislike, hate, what we want to dispel is white supremacy, which is something that white people, Black people, everybody in this nation, we are all victims of. So if we read the study, I don't know if you want me to give a few key points, Herb, or we can just move on.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping that you were going to give a couple of points.
Yeah.
Unless we have any callers.
If
we don't have any callers.
Yeah, we do have a couple, but I'll be quick, and then we can go to the callers. I'm not going to take the whole hour.
Okay.
So Race Forward gives us the 7 key practices that the media takes part in that really, really comes between Americans being able to move forward in race relations. So number 1 is individualizing racism. This practice concentrates on attention on thoughts or acts of personal prejudice It reinforces the common misconception that racism is simply a personal problem that should be resolved by shaming, punishing, or re-educating the individual offender. Now, Herb, as you know, racism in a sociological aspect is systematically construed, right? It's a systematic
right.
thing.
Okay.
It's not a it's not personal emotions. That's not the stuff that affects people as a whole. Racism
right.
is systematic. It's been in governmental policies. It's been
bigotry is personalized racism.
Right, right. We need to understand the difference. Because you will get into conversations with people that have no idea when they say, well, black people can be racist too.
I hate hearing that.
We have no power to not give you a job, to not give you a home loan. Brown people in this country and black people and as a whole, as much big a minority as we are, do not have the power or wealth to affect the lives of white people the way they can affect ours. And that's just the truth.
But understand that, like hearing you say that, understand that that is the main reason why they try to create this gap between blacks and black people and brown people, because blacks lack the power as a group, right?
Right.
Brown people lack the power as a group, but
right.
blacks and browns together is the majority.
Right.
It's the majority.
And if we educated ourselves and understood that we're all on the same boat, we'd be a power to be reckoned.
Haha, you said the same boat. That means we're including the Cubans and the Haitians?
Yes. Yeah, I mean.
Nah, we got to be all inclusive.
I mean, we have to be. So I'm just going to go through these really quick. You guys can look up this, the study on Race Forward, again, raceforward.org, and look at the study. It's a really, really good study. So number two is falsely equating incomparable acts. This practice provides an excuse for otherwise seeks to absolve an individual who has expressed a racist idea or committed a racist act, of course. But by comparing them to, something a black person has said or done, as again, we discussed, we do not have the power to actually affect the lives of white people as a whole or those in power as they do to us. Here we go. Part three, diverting from race. This practice of asserting that other social identities besides race, such as class, gender, or sexual orientation, are the real determining factors behind a given social inequity. And nothing was more evident in this than this whole aggressive policeman, the killer cops that are out there when people want to, it's not about race. You show me the white boys dying in droves every 28 hours, and I'll believe you.
Right.
So, here we go. Number four is portraying government as overreaching. This depicts government efforts to promote racial equity and inclusion as misguided and necessary and improper. You know, we've all had these discussions with people where where government efforts to actually bring some kind of racial unity is undermined by whatever excuse you want to throw out there.
I mean, that, and also you look at what the Supreme Court is doing with voters' rights.
Right. Right. We have examples. We have everyday examples of these things because you talk to these people who truly believe what they're telling you. Number five, prioritizing policy intent over impact. This practice devalues rather than values the humanity and the very lives of the people and communities of color that bear the brunt of a policy's implementation. It obscures the role of implicit bias in that policy's operation and reinforces the power of white fear in policy and decision-making. Basically, focusing more on the intention of a policy or a practice and far less, if at all, on the daily impact on people and communities of color. Of course, we meant well. I think a small example of that is Starbucks trying to start the race conversation and allowing right. their employees to start, you know, the conversation on race. Right. But it's real easy to want to talk about it and go home and then not have to. People that, no matter it's if they want to talk about it or not, have to deal with it.
It's contrived horseshit.
It really is. Condemning through coded language, and we all know what coded language is. We all know that thug and savage is the new N-word. So substituting racial identity with seemingly race-neutral terms that disguise explicit and or implicit racial animus. The last one is silencing history, omitting, dismissing, or deliberately rewriting history. This isolates rather than connects present racial disparities, opportunities, and attitudes from their historical context. It results in incomplete or inaccurate understandings of the root causes of these disparities, opportunities, and attitudes. It obscures the pathway to illuminating what solutions are most viable or warranted, and it miseducates the public. And I think this might be the most powerful one, the one that we've been seeing through political practice, how history is basically being erased. All those ethnic studies that these states are doing away with, all this get over it shit about slavery, that's erasing
right.
history. If we don't
yeah.
know our history, Marcus Garvey said, people without a knowledge of their history has no idea what the future, you know, they don't know where they're going. And so, trust me, the systematic racism knows exactly what it's doing. The people behind all of this know exactly what the object is and why they're doing it. So for anybody that thinks that, oh, these programs are being eliminated because they're unnecessary or they take too much money, you're stupid,
yeah.
you're living under a rock, or you're a part of the system. So basically that's my part in this with this study, so you guys can go to Race Forward and download it for yourself. And
all right, right on.
Do you want to go to? Yeah, do you want to go to some callers, or do you have some words?
Not really a whole lot I can add. Everybody just shoot over to the website when they get a chance and check it out for themselves. That's a whole
yeah,
lot of information.
I was about to. I know we spoke of this during the Eric Garner show, and it's. I mean, we brown and black people are very aware of these things. It just seems that non-colored people are really oblivious to it, either because it doesn't fit the narrative for their life or people don't want to feel bad.
It doesn't fit the narrative for one. And secondly, it's fucking uncomfortable.
Of course.
It's really, like, the truth is really, really, really uncomfortable, you know, and if...
But even that is marred in white privilege. Well, how much more uncomfortable is it when your kids are dying? And
right,
you're uncomfortable in talking about it?
Right, I mean, yeah. Because to talk about it, at some point you have to start admitting shit.
Exactly.
And then when you start admitting shit, then you actually have to think about what you have to think about what you're actually
admitting to.
Admitting to, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, and when you start thinking about what you're admitting to, you got to think back, and you got to think way back, and that's when it starts to get uncomfortable.
Because the consequences, of our history have been horrible.
When you look at it and realize how systematic it is, like it's a sickening feeling. It's a sickening feeling. Like, it's like a friend of mine, Derek Lindsay and shit. Shout out to Grudge Life and the Jack Johnson Electric Shaman show. He said, to admit that, to realize that, is to admit that you are the victim of, you are the offspring of rape.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's the thing is, like, y'all wouldn't feel so damn guilty if you actually wanted to talk about it.
If you actually want to talk
about it. You know? And you came to the table wanting a resolution, but the thing is that people who have not had to live this way of life always feel like what these people that have had to live through things are not telling the truth, or you guys are exaggerating. So you can never right. come up with a solution when you're already being defensive and telling people that you basically don't believe what they're telling you, because it's never
right.
personally affected you. But we should go to the callers.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Hi, 443 caller. Hello.
443 caller, you're live on the air.
Hey, it's Shelly.
Hey, it's
Shelly. Hi, Shelly.
Hey, I was just listening in. I'm actually checking into a hotel right now.
Oh,
okay.
Well, keep listening.
We'll come back to you. All right, here we go. Hi, 410 caller.
Hey, how are you guys? It's Mahogany.
Hey,
hi, Mahogany. Hey. Interesting topic, to say the least. I would like to share just like two quick incidents from my history, just dealing with it as a child, in terms of not just racism, but the denial of impact.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I remember vividly, like I still see it today. I was in elementary school walking home with a group, and there's this long strip of road on Moravia Road, actually, that leads down to the expressway. So it's like three-lane traffic. Plenty of lanes if you want to do something stupid. And so I had a situation once where these two white guys were driving down south on Moravia Road, stopping at just a massive line of little black children walking home from school. And these guys are stopping their car every few groups of black children, asking them if they wanted to buy some drugs. We're in elementary school.
Wow.
Right.
And, you know, I went home, I told my mom. Unfortunately, I was just so shocked that, you know, and mind you, this is like a predominantly middle-class black area at the time. You know, the area is kind of
CIA.
Right, it's gone downhill a little since then, but there were no, you know, no young white folks in the area. And the sports cars they were driving, I've never been a car fanatic, but it was so souped up. It wasn't like a Corvette or anything like that. It was real chopped up, had a lot of tons and tons of angles in it. It was a real fancy pants. You know, a convertible sports car, that bright, bright red that these two guys were in. I told my mom, she called the police, but it was only but so much information I could give. Again, I was in elementary school. I didn't think to look at tag numbers. All I wanted to do was walk quickly away from these people before, you know, they got me, and that's all I was thinking in my little kid head. But I remember turning back down the street and watching them stop at every group of children, and totally disgusted by that. And the flip side to that is that I've worked in the straight hood in West Baltimore, like dangerous area. You know, it was nothing for me to hop on the road at the end of the day and, you know, maybe hear some gunshots in the distance. I was almost in the midst of a police chase, like two steps in the assailant that the police officer was chasing to knock me over. And I've worked in that area for almost 10 years, never once offered drugs, ever, by an African-American or anyone else. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the stories that people tell are very important because that's real.
Right.
You have two teenage white boys offering elementary-level kids, black kids, drugs, and, you know, in my adult life, never being offered drugs by a black, actually never in my life. I'll be 42 on my birthday. Never once in my life been offered drugs by an African American ever. Not even my social friends who, you know, may indulge in little Mary Jane. Never once was like, you want to hit off of this. Never once.
Racism and white privilege paid for a summer in Ocean City for me. I'm dead serious.
Do tell.
All right. This is just after high school. Some friends of mine, white boys, privileged motherfuckers, parents, paid for a beach house in Ocean City. So they're all going down to Ocean City for the summer. Ask my black ass and shit if I want to come along. I'm poor as fuck. I live in East Baltimore. In a real house on Chase Street. Ain't never fucking been to Ocean City before. But other places, never been to Ocean City. So I'm like, all right, whatever, fuck it. My broke ass go down that bitch for the summer with $100. For the summer.
Right? For the whole summer?
For the whole summer.
Right. Have you ever been down to Ocean City? You know, you ain't buying nothing but $100 for more than a day.
You're going to spend that shit in a day.
Right.
So, we get down there, and like the whole time we're going down there, shit, they're stopping. They're buying all these snacks and shit. And I'm buying like a bag of chips and a soda. Trying to conserve and shit. So we get down there, and it's like day two, standing out on the second floor, like little deck joint and shit. And like, here comes this fucking burnout. He's walking down the beach. And he's like, hey, bro. And like, I hate when white people call me bro. Like, that immediately, like, it takes me immediately to somewhere else. Right?
Right.
Hey, bro, you know who has to score some?
Right.
Now, he walked past all these fucking white people.
Right.
He walked past all these white
who
people.
Who probably had a better indicator where to get some
they
damn Coke, because Coke is
exactly.
Not a black person's
drug of
choice. Not a young one, anyway.
Man, they probably had that good fish scale shit, like that good shit. But anyway, I said, some Coke? He was like, well, I want some rock. But I'll take some Coke. You know where I can get some rock? And I'm like, you know? I said, nah, but you know what? I said, my man might be coming through later. Give me a number. I'll let you know. Okay, cool. So listen. I'm from around the way, right?
So being from around the way,
you'll acquire some skills if you know the right people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I learned how to make was fake crack. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why.
Wow. It's your pathology. Wow. He ain't say I learned to bake muffins. He said I bake crack. Okay.
I know how to make crack, right?
Okay, Nino Brown.
And I also know how to make fake crack.
Mm-hmm.
So, I go and take my motherfucking money and I invest it. I go across the highway to the store and buy a bunch of fucking Stand Back in BC. You know the fucking headache powder?
The what?
The
yeah.
Headache powder that comes in a little fucking packet, a little headache shit. Stand Back in BC. I bought all the ones they had. It's like $30 worth. And a bottle of fucking ammonia. And I went back. And I cooked up some crap.
Oh, God.
Right? That contains zero cocaine whatsoever.
Oh, my Lord.
So I tell this jackass and shit that my man came through. And he's like, okay. And I give him a little piece. And I was like, I tried it out. I'm like, let me know. He comes back in exactly 10 fucking minutes. That's nice, man. How much of it can I get? I said, well, you left this piece here. You can have it for $500.
Damn.
I'll be right back. Motherfucker left. Came back half hour later. $500.
Dang.
It gets worse. He came back for more. I had to cook up some water.
No way.
Swear to God. I swear to God. True fucking story.
So basically, he was out of headaches for the whole week.
I got $1,100 for keeping this motherfucker shit from ODing and headache free.
Wow.
Yep. And the trick is, see that fucking ammonia? Like cooking that shit and bringing it back with that fucking ammonia? When they hit that shit, it gives them a fucking head rush.
Oh.
That lasts about as long as a motherfucking crack high lasts. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't the most ethical thing.
But neither was he.
But that's what the fuck he gets for being a racist.
Yep. I can't blame you.
I say all that to say that's what you get for being a racist. So I had a nice summer. I had fucking, you know, about 12, ended up with like $1,200.
Wow.
For the summer. I had a pretty good fucking summer. I rode jet skis and shit. I rode jet skis and was buying drinks.
I was out there
in
a cardigan draped over his neck and shit.
No.
Oh,
no.
In deck shoes and shorts.
Let me tell you how fucking hood I was. I swear, let me tell you how hood I was. I was on the beach with a pair of fucking Timberland boots. I ain't even lying.
And you didn't think anything was wrong with that?
On the beach.
On
the beach with Timberland boots.
I was on the beach because back then, like niggas don't wear flip flops. The fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was on the beach with motherfucking Timberland. I took two pair of motherfucking Timberland boots. You know what I mean? Jeans and a couple pair of shorts.
Wow.
Yeah, like, I was fucking poor. Like, what the fuck you want?
We do have another caller, Mahogany. Sit tight, because we will pass you on the next topic, ma'am.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Hi, 832 caller.
If it's me, I'm just listening.
Okay, never mind.
Well, damn.
I don't want to talk.
Well, damn.
Right.
Stand like shoes, running from the police. What's up?
witness protection or something.
You know what I'm saying? I'm hiding from the abusive boyfriend in a phone booth and shit.
But I was going to bring up that these inaccurate portrayals in the media of non-white people are nothing new. I don't know if it's because of the advent of social media that these things have come out into the limelight, because this shit has been happening since there's been white and brown people on earth. So it kind of just rubs me the wrong way when people are like, that really happened? Because,
right.
I mean, where you been, you know?
Right.
It's never been more apparent than when a black kid, a black person, black man, black woman is killed at the hand of a cop. I mean, so bad to the point where Tamir Rice was killed, his dad's criminal record came into question. I mean,
right.
How horrible a person do you have to be to spit on the death of a child by bringing up their parents' criminal record? I mean, if you dig deep into anybody's life, you're going to find something, but that is not the time to bring, I mean, never. They're the victims here. And when I saw, I mean, it happened before with Trayvon. It happened with Mike Brown. It's happened so many times. But I was like, this is a 12-year-old child. You can't even, there's really no excuse. You can't even say, you know, this. He was 12 years old. My son's about to be 12. My son can't even wipe his ass right, you know. And it just, it shows you how life in this country and many other countries that that promote race this way, how the life is not equitable to that of white people. It's almost like you're not even talking about human beings sometimes, you know? And it's disgusting and really saddening.
Right. And you check out how the kid from Virginia, down in Virginia, where the fucking what do they call the fucking dudes and shit? The Virginia alcohol, the ABC,
the alcohol beer. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like the girl out of Virginia and shit.
ABC?
Yeah, I think it's ABC, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they beat the shit out this fucking kid.
Oh, yeah.
The college student and shit. And, like, this kid, he's and for these motherfuckers and shit, they talk that respectability politics bullshit. Right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. So, I mean, I hate them more than regular hillbilly-ass racists.
This is a kid who goes to a fucking good school. No criminal record. No pictures of him doing some dumb shit, putting up a middle finger or smoking a blunt. You know what I mean?
Nothing.
None of that shit. Only pictures they could find is him in, like, a cardigan and shit. Or a sweater vest and a fucking bow tie. You know what I mean?
Still drew dirt on his name.
And they still they try. And here's the thing, they try. But, like, now that they can only do this so much because there isn't much that they can fucking find,
they don't even
talk about it anymore. They don't even talk about it.
It's like he never got beat.
Exactly.
The whole racist chant thing where the kid with the two college guys got expelled. I saw Levi Pettit's apology last week, and I'm so used to it that it was almost funny to me how contrived and how mechanical it was. You know, the apology, you know? And it's like, dude, that was, I don't even know what to call it, but I almost wish he would have just sat at home and not said a damn thing, because it's offensive how they feel that people are going to swallow. And I'm sure tons of people did. Tons of people are like, well, he apologized. What else do you want?
Like, you had all these motherfuckers. Like, who the fuck is the Negro League and shit that was up there with him? Like, they don't
Society of Bougie Black People?
I don't know these coons. Like, these motherfuckers don't speak for me. Like, fuck those people. I don't even know that guy. I don't know that guy.
Why did they need to be up there?
Well, you know, so that he could be flanked by a bunch of niggas so that he could look like, oh, I'm comfortable around niggas. But all you really proved this shit is that you're uncomfortable, period. You're a fucking prick. Mm-hmm. You're a fucking racist piece of shit. And the only thing
you have no idea why you're in trouble.
That got recorded and your fucking faggot ass got caught. Fuck you. And here's the thing. Even with all the fucking press, with all the fucking trouble that these cocksuckers got into, you know what these motherfuckers are going to do? Go to another goddamn school, graduate.
And enter another chapter.
And own fucking businesses. And own motherfucking businesses and still be fucking racist pieces of fucking shit. Because racism is systemic.
Right. Right. I mean, honestly, to be really honest with you, I really doubt that these kids and their families really understand why this is such a big deal. I really think that at many points in their private lives, they're like, why are people reacting like this?
Right.
They have no idea. And there's people of color. I mean, I don't know what's worse than having a conversation with white people that seem to be totally bereft of knowledge of that this is happening, or people of color who also believe that you're exaggerating what you're saying when these things happen. And go ahead.
Here's the thing. Now it's come out that the that chant was taught to everybody from the national chapter.
But of course, did you have any doubt that it was?
Well, I mean, come on now. Of course, I'm sure they've seen that shit from here to motherfucking country, wherever the fuck. So I know that shit was, but it's come out now. You understand what I'm saying? So we're talking about more people of privilege and shit that are being put under the gun. Now let's see if they cancel the whole fucking chapter and see what happens.
Nah, no, that's not gonna happen. I mean, wasn't one of their symbols like the Confederate flag? I mean, people can try to bullshit you and piss on you and say that it's rain and tell you that the Confederate flag doesn't mean anything, that it's a symbol of the South. Yeah, the symbol of killing black folks, raping them and enslaving them. I mean, for real, whoever says that it's just a flag, okay. But, you know, the fact that he was up there and apologizing, yet he didn't want to answer any questions, just totally revealed to me that this kid, first of all, was reciting memorized language, as all PR stunts do. Second, he's not sorry. Because when you're genuinely sorry, you will put yourself out there and say, you know what, I'm going to be completely honest. So you mean to tell me you got in all this trouble, got kicked out of school, but yet you're not willing to tell us where you learned the chant? We all know already. We just want to know if you're going to be honest about it.
Right.
And that whole press conference was laughable, at least. And, you know, it was offensive. It was offensive that, and I honestly wonder, but I kind of know, if PR stunts like that are meant to calm the people who are generally offended, black people, or if it's just to calm white people and say, see, we did the right thing.
You know what?
And I think it's the latter.
Yeah. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I think white people I really don't think they give a fuck.
But I don't think they do either, honestly.
Really,
especially people with money.
Right, they don't give a fuck. This was more of a let me save face and shut these niggas up.
Yeah, before I get my ass beat everywhere I go.
Exactly.
Or, you know, before people Google me. But even then.
And, like, these motherfuckers got police protection.
Huh?
They got police protection.
Oh, of Oh, of course.
They were assigned motherfucking police protection because they felt
right.
like their lives were in danger.
Right. And yet people that are whose families of actual kids that are dead, you got cops
right.
threatening them.
Like that's, you understand what I'm saying? Like, when you talk about cops are supposed to protect and serve, like, that's who
okay.
they protect and serve.
That's who they're meant to protect and serve, yeah.
Whoever pays the most amount of motherfucking taxes, that's who the police work for.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they work for. Well, no.
And
whoever generates the most amount of taxes.
Right, and that's where you have these intersections of social problems where, you know, it's money, race, gender, you know, and we have these intersections where these things are just overlapping all the time. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, Kanye said, even if you drive a Benz, you're still, you know, N-word in a coupe. When it comes down to it, money only goes so far.
Yeah.
But you know what OJ did? I don't want to glorify him at all because we all know he did it. But he did an amazing job of being a black man and walking away like a white person.
You know, almost did. He almost walked away like a white person.
Oh, almost. That's true. Because they was going to, yeah, they got him some. That's true. I almost forgot.
Yeah, like, all that motherfucking time that OJ is doing right now, he's not doing that shit for going up in a motherfucking hotel room and taking back some shit that belonged to him. He's doing that time because he killed that white woman. Fuck out.
Yes.
He got away with
Right. Yeah, he thought he got away with it. They let him get away with it for, what, a couple, like, 10 years?
Like, how he just laid low. Like, this is what OJ was supposed to do. OJ was, after he got away with killing that motherfucking white bitch, he was supposed to motherfucking lay low.
Shut up, yeah.
Like, disappear, take whatever was left of his motherfucking money, and just go chill somewhere. Just go somewhere and just shut the fuck up.
Right.
That's it.
Can leave well enough alone, OJ.
Just shut the fuck up. Leave well enough alone. Pop back up maybe 10 years from now, you know what I mean, and, you know, write a book or endorse some bullshit or whatever, you know, just to keep the cash flow going and shit. But for the most part, just shut the fuck up. Like, we're going to pretend
mm-hmm.
that this shit never fucking happened. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, this motherfucker wanted to stay in the goddamn limelight. And when he talked about writing that fucking book, and the title of that book was, I Didn't Kill Nicole, But If I Were Going To, This Is How I Would Do It. When that nigga wrote that
state.
Shit, yeah. When he wrote that shit, I said, oh, them white people won't get him.
And even then, George Zimmerman is still out of prison. And this motherfucker gets arrested every weekend.
Yo, but that was shit. George Zimmerman didn't get locked up for smacking a bitch's mama, pushing a bitch's daddy, pulling guns on niggas at a light. Like, this motherfucker is wildin'.
Like, yo,
like,
this
absolutely.
Dude is going to hold a gun to a cop, and they're going to try to talk him out of it.
Yo, he is out of fucking control. You understand? You understand?
And that's the privilege.
Right, and the fucked up part about that shit is this motherfucker's not even white.
Well, actually, he is half white.
Like,
he looks white, that's all that matters.
But, right, that's what I'm saying. It's not even he's not even fucking white, but he's close enough to white, and he claims, you know what I'm saying, that he identifies and claims the white side of him. Right.
If you don't get the fuck away from here with that bullshit,
that it works for him too. Because it's the same way. It's the same way that, like, Spanish people, like people from Spain. Like, I don't, like, people from Spain aren't motherfucking Latina and Latino.
No, they're not. Spanish.
Right. They're just motherfucking crackers that speak fucking Spanish.
That speak Spanish.
That's it. That's all they are. The fucking Europeans that speak fucking Spanish.
Mm-hmm. I ain't going to break down white people. They're just white.
Yeah. And what Hispanics are really the offspring of Africans and Spaniards.
And Indians, yeah. Indians, Native,
you know,
I mean, Natives, Africans, all the undesirable stuff that's from Latin America.
Right.
If this is new to you guys, we'll get you gotten in lesson, but I doubt most of our listeners are experiencing these narratives for the first time. But we can move on to the next topic. It's about time.
Right. Let's do that. All right. So our next topic is body counts. Let's talk body counts. Do they matter? Do body counts matter? Do you have the right to ask? Do you volunteer that information? Is there a double standard? Well, of course, we know there's
a double standard.
But why is there a double standard? And we're going to get into that. I actually have interesting insight to why there's a double standard, but, you know.
Okay.
So, I'm gonna roll this
go
one.
Ahead.
You are going to tell the
okay.
people. Your body count. What's your body count, y'all?
Not ever telling. I'm as pure as the driven snow as far as all of those are concerned.
That's your story. And you're sticking to it. I hear that shit. I'm mad. Actually, you know what?
I mean,
here's the thing.
Good.
My, believe it or not, my body count is surprisingly low.
Yeah, but your head count is exponentially higher.
That's the thing. I've had an illegal amount of an absolutely illegal amount of blowjobs, and that's
mm-hmm.
it, blowjobs count. Like
do they to you?
They don't. They don't count to me.
Oh, they don't.
They don't. No, they don't. Like,
do they count if your girl has a low body count and she's had 76 dicks in her mouth?
No, really. Let me be honest with you. Here's what I learned about white girls, right? If you date a white girl, if you're in your 30s,
mm-hmm.
and you're dating a white girl who's been sexually active, let's say since she was not even sexually 13. Active. Let's say she's been making out with boys since she was 13, 14. There's a good chance that she sucked upwards of 50, 60 dicks by the time she got to you.
Mm-hmm. That's how she got so good.
You know what I'm saying? And here's why. And here's why. Because white girls, God bless them, they include sucking dick as part of making out.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Like when you're with mm-hmm. like when you're with a black chick, like you gotta be in that relationship. Y'all might fuck. She might suck your dick first time she fuck, but y'all fucking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like she's not just gonna suck your dick just because y'all was kissing in the back seat of a car. And you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And then, you know, she go from your lips to your neck, and then next thing you know, you skull fucking this bitch. You know, and that's just making out. You know, there's no commitment. There's no, you understand what I'm saying? That we just made out. We did nothing but kiss, but her kiss it ended up Frenching your dick. That's just what it is. You know, and God bless them for that. God bless him for that, and I really, really appreciate that shit. So that's it. So, you know, how many dicks she sucks, whatever. To me, it's not a big deal. It's really not a big deal to me because, A, I'm a grown-ass man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, B, I know not to ask questions.
You don't want to know the answer?
That I don't really want to fucking know the answer to.
Me too. You know, I don't ask stuff like that. I really don't. I mean, I'm curious, but I don't really want to know because it will forever color the way I look at you as a dude. Because I do totally look at men as whores.
Right.
If they have a high, so I don't want to know. If I like you, I'm not going to ask you.
Don't fuck
hey,
it up.
Hey, you sure as hell ain't gonna ask me.
Yeah, because.
Right?
Like, here's the thing. My ex-girlfriend
Go ahead.
My ex-girlfriend is a fucking whore. And I'm not saying that because I'm bitter. I mean, she actually is a fucking whore. Like, she had a website with prices and all of that shit.
Oh.
But before...
She's an actual prostitute.
Yeah. I didn't know. You know what I mean? I didn't know. But what I did know when I met her is that she was a paid dominatrix, right?
Okay. I want to be one of those.
I mean, it's not that hard.
Is there a market for chubby?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. And it pays good money.
We'll talk later.
And you can charge extra for being fat.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. But anyway, but here's what I knew. Like, anybody that deep in the sex game, right? Anybody that deep in the sex game, it's a fair assumption that they've seen a good amount of dicks. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a fair assumption that they've seen, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're, like, because ultimately, you know, if you're pay, even if you're paying domination, you're working in the sex industry.
Right.
So
no,
working,
you are.
If you're working in the sex industry, it's a fair assumption that you've seen at least a parcel of dicks.
Yep. A parcel.
You know what I'm saying? A parcel. So.
A parcel and a parcel.
Yeah. So, you know, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, So, I mean, like I said, the shit, body count, like, I never, you know, thought to, like, ask. Like, even when I found out she was a fucking whore, like, I never asked her, like, bitch, how many people did you fucking see in a day? I didn't want to know the answer to that. I didn't want to know the answer to whether or not I walked past one of her fucking clients in the fucking hallway. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to know that shit. Because I fucking kill you. I swear I fucking kill you.
Yeah. So, let's go to our callers.
Let's go to our callers.
See what they have to say. Hold on. All righty. 832 caller, are you ready?
Is this me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't give out my... I made the mistake of communicating numbers before, and it always has some kind of a effect. So I just choose not to communicate. Because I think most men, if a woman has had more than five partners, more than the partners that she can count on one hand, they get uneasy. Mm-hmm. I definitely had more than five partners. So, and I think it just depends on also. Usually, the ones that are asking are usually the insecure ones. So unless you give them a number less than five, it just feeds into their own personal insecurity or feeling of inadequacy. You know what I'm saying? So,
to be honest with you, I have a theory that men, if it's more than two, they're going to freak the fuck out. So,
men always believe that your numbers are understated anyway.
Say that again?
Men always believe that your numbers are understated anyway. Like,
right.
Men always believe that women are low about themselves.
Say two really means 10?
Say it again?
Say two, that really means 10.
Like if a woman says I only have like two partners, like chances that there's a good chance and shit that it was probably at least six.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of shit that they don't even fucking count. They'll block shit out. They'll block out the one night stand.
The reason they have to do that is because of the culture. Men can feel more confident speaking on their for men it's exploit. For a woman it's irresponsibility. So
here's the thing about that. It's easy for a woman to be a slut. You understand what I'm saying?
But what I don't understand, what is the definition of a slut?
Like, it's a lot easier for a woman, like, even an ugly woman can go to a bar and get fucked that night.
So can men, though.
Listen, that is not true. A fat, ugly dude can go to a bar and not get fucked. A fat, ugly chick can go to a bar and get fucked that night. And that is the God honest truth. That's just the God honest truth. And it's a lot harder for a man, in today's society, and don't get me wrong, I'm not advocating this. I'm not advocating for it. I'm being a devil's advocate, if anything, right? But for a man to be a stud, like for him to fuck a lot of chicks, and I'm not talking about just like skanks, but just, you know, having a lot of women like interested in him. Like there's a lot that he has to do, and there's a lot that he may have to offer. You know what I mean? And it might not be anything substantial. But it's still there's certain things that women are looking for that this dude has to offer, and that's why he can do as much as he can do. Whereas with a woman, all she has to do is be there. That's it. All she got to do is be there, and that's speaking to how, you know, people say men will fuck anything, and that's true. Not all men, but there is some men that will fuck anything. Whereas there, even an ugly female, like I'm telling you, a fat ugly chick, she goes into the bar, she sits there long enough, somebody is going to want to fuck her. A fat ugly dude goes into that same fucking bar, and he will get ignored all night long. Say it again.
First of all, why do we keep putting ugly and fat together? I mean,
look, this is not a dig toward fat people or ugly people. I'm just, you understand?
Okay, well, second, don't you think that might be a consequence of the culture? Because if men are open to being more exploratory sex-wise and you know, jumping on opportunities when they get them, while a woman is supposed to have some reservation and some holdback in that process, you're going to end up having more men out there available for sex than women, just generally, you know?
Look, I get that. It is 11:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is about 45 degrees outside, and double standards aren't fair. It is what it is. You know,
it's not that it's not fair. There's a reason for it. Like, there's a reason for it, and I can respect it. You know, one thing being is, you know, we're the ones that get pregnant. So, I mean, we should have a little more reservation, and we should have more holdback
because of the downstream impact that it can have on a woman more than a man, you know. So,
and at the end of the day, like primitively, like women are generally like the nesters,
right,
and men are the ones who it generally went out and, you know, did the hunting gathering thing and spread their fucking seed, you know. And so when you look at, and which is why society is kind of built around that, as far
right.
as, you know, as far as how we look at it, and
right.
there's nothing wrong with that, you know what I mean?
But
I don't see, I honestly don't see anything wrong. Is it fair? It absolutely is not fair. But the thing, and it shouldn't be fair. There are some things that men should be able to, not necessarily be able to do, like have the right to do, but there are some things that men tend to do, you know, that it should just be something that men tend to do. And there's things
right.
that women tend to do that should just be left for women to tend to do. Like, it might sound chauvinistic, but, I mean, that's, it is what it is. I mean, that's how it should be, because there are two
right.
sexes. There should be two.
But that, you know, the issue with that is that, okay, when you say you are, you know, in a relationship and you're healthy, you don't have any damages, you're doing okay for yourself, why should a man be at that point so overtly concerned about what happened previous to him? Because you didn't come out, you came out unscathed as a woman. You still have your
right.
stuff together. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
And,
so, but
no,
because of this concept that if a woman behaves in this way, then there's something wrong with her as a woman, that
mm-hmm.
doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's patriarchy right there.
Well, of course it's patriarchy. And again, it speaks to the double standard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It speaks to the double standard. Like, women aren't, like,
women are not even the owners of their own body. We have to tell
no,
you what
not,
to do with it.
No, it's not. No, it's not that. It's not. No, it's the actually. It's the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. The rationale is women should be more reserved and more selective.
Yeah.
About what they do with their body. You understand what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Is that not what they're telling you, though? Like, we get to set the standard for what you do with your own body.
No,
I guess the issue is that, you know, as a woman, the you know, the safer thing to do, it's kind of like these concepts of, you know, religion and sin, right? And how religion teaches you, you cannot do that. If you do that, you're a bad person. When in reality, it's not about you being a bad person for doing that. It's about when you do it, you open yourself up to these potential consequences, you know? You
yeah.
risk. You put yourself in a place of risk. But
yeah.
if a woman is willing to put her, you know, put herself in that risk, and but she protects herself and she does other things to try to reduce that risk, you know, that should be considered as well. So it's like this concept that because I chose to be more sexually active and to experience more things does not automatically title me to be a person that's going to have diseases, that's going to have a bunch of babies, that's going to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's going to have a mentality, it's going to be a cheater or whatever it is that, you know, gets stigmatized for women.
Listen, let me explain something. This is how easy it is to get an inflated body count, and I'd even realize it, right?
Okay.
Let's say you count, and we're counting every, like, full-on, like, talking sexual intercourse. I'm not talking about your blowjob, your drunken blowjob to some dude you met at the club and no shit like that. But, like, let's say from the age you start being sexually active at the age of 16, right?
Uh-huh.
Between
right.
16 and the age of 30, it's fairly reasonable for someone who is responsible and in complete control of their sexuality to have let's say, a different sex partner every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
right.
we're talking committed relationships. Like, we go together.
Right.
We're together. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason, shit don't work out. Next year, you meet somebody else.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, we're talking, that's 14 right there.
Right.
And then you throw in your random, you know, I've known him for a week. We've gone out a couple, you know what I mean? You throw
right.
those in there, and shit, you can easily get up to fucking over 20. And motherfuckers are getting shook when they hear 5. Like,
yeah.
who are you dating? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to fuck with a chick who's only had 5 sex partners. I don't want to fuck with her. You don't know shit.
Yeah.
And this ain't the building this work. I ain't got time to be teaching you shit.
Well, see, I think, you know what? That comes to the next thing I was thinking. Men don't like when women have a lot of partners because of the fear that they will not measure up to experiences that the woman had before, you know what I'm saying? Or they won't be able, she might be ahead of them. And, you know,
well,
for a man, that's kind of hard to take, you know what I'm saying? It seems like, you being a man, you can let me know.
And he better start eating ass or some shit and step his game up. I don't know what to tell him. okay. Like, for real, I really don't know what to tell them, but yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Like, when people, like, I don't do the slut-shaming thing, you know, I don't do the whole, like, you know who kills me? Like, who really, really kill me are people who, like, dudes who say they will, if a chick give them the pussy on the first date, right? That they fuck them, but it wouldn't be somebody and shit that they want to stay with. Like, you know what I mean? And I never understood that shit. Because it just doesn't make sense to me. And here's
not compute.
And this is why it doesn't
make sense. That's when you're pursuing the sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you pursuing
right.
it? You don't.
And that's the thing.
She's
and
a whore. You're just as much of a whore.
I don't understand. Here's the thing. Like, I was just talking about this earlier today, and like, I gave this analogy, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I want some cake. Like, I really, really want some
always
cake.
Always want cake.
I'm a fat boy. You know, it's cake. But I want some cake, and I go to, there are 2 bakeries that are side by side, right? They have identical quality baked goods, right? And I go in one, and they tell me, "All right, we can have your cake ready in 30 days. You can have your cake in 30 days, right?" I go to the place next door, and they tell me, "You can have your cake now, when you want it."
Right?
Nice. Which bakery do you think is going to get my repeat service? My repeat service?
Right.
Like, I'm coming back to the bakery that's giving me what I want when I ask for it.
Right?
Like, how can I be mad at that?
Yeah.
How can I be mad at that?
Oh, but
you know what I mean? And if that bakery tells me, like, all right, so now that you've had my cake and you like my cake, I would like to be your private baker. Like, why would
you? You're like, no.
And you're like, nah. I don't really respect the fact that you gave me my cake when I asked for that shit, babe. You're a fucking idiot.
Like, you're
pretty
a fucking
much.
Idiot. These will be the same guys that if they get a woman who isn't like that, then they will, once they get into that relationship and this woman holds back on a constant basis, they're going to cheat on her.
Yeah, she's an uptight bitch.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And the ill shit is they end up with these chicks who are like that, but just might like that with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, your girl a hoe, she's just a hoe from where she's from.
Right.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm about to mute now.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Let us check out Mahogany, see how she's doing. Miss Mahogany, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am definitely here. Can you hear me?
We want to know what you have to say on this topic.
Well, one, to go back to the original point, I've never been asked my, number is. I can't even imagine a dude partner's lips being like, yo, babe, how many dudes have you fucked before? I can't imagine that moment in history.
Right.
And luckily it hasn't been a part of mine. The most any guy has ever asked me is, like, what his ranking was, like, in terms
really?
Of fuckability. Yeah, I have had that. But I will say that as far as I'm concerned, it really doesn't matter what my personal number is as the female in the relationship, because as long as my pussy's tight when the dick goes in, that's all you need to worry about.
Right.
All right, I hear that shit.
I mean, in that real talk, if you are, if I'm so wide open that you broke your ankle falling in like the Grand Canyon and bust your head on the way down to the G-spot, then yes, that would be a probable, a reasonable sense of, distress in the sexual component. Of the relationship.
A dog in the hallway.
Okay, so as long as that's not going on, then you shouldn't have a problem with, however many dudes there may have or may not have been. I'm not asking like you all said before. I'm not asking the question I want the answer to. I just want to know if, when we get to that point where we are having sex, that I enjoy myself and that he enjoys himself.
Right.
And if you've had a bunch of great teachers in your background or have just watched the right porn that got you to to be a good lover, I don't want to know the answer to that. I don't need to. Thank all the ex-chicks in your life that you actually screwed, or thank, Pornhub.com, whatever. Thank you, whomever.
I've actually had a really smart guy say that to me. Like, I think whoever it is that taught you what you know. That was a smart guy.
Absolutely.
He wasn't asking for numbers. He wasn't,
And it's really not important. At the end of the day, because at the end of the day, you're with me now. So,
right.
All you need to be concerned about.
I mean, listen, if you need a chick, right, if you're a grown, I'm not talking, little young buck or whatever, but if you're a grown-ass man and you meet a chick, at the store, grocery store, the club, church, I don't know fuck where you met it, and, you go out a couple times, she's all right, but you went out with all right chicks before, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not necessarily trying to bet the bond or no shit like that, but then you get the pussy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she lay that shit down like she's supposed to lay it motherfucking down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she fucks like you don't fuck her, she fucks you, and she fucks you well. And that is what seals the deal for you, right? Mm-hmm. She's all right, but the fucking sex is fucking amazing. Right? How in the fuck do you think she got so good?
Right. I mean, a person can get good just by having a good partner. So, I mean, I don't intend on discussing my numbers, but they're low. Like, I've had long-term sexual partners, and I don't have a problem with taking sexual sabbaticals when necessary to, you know, focus on, you know, less dramatic shit. So I can say that I've had some good lovers. Now, I've had some bullshit lovers, but I've had some good lovers who, you know, made me want to be the, you know, best lover I could be. So, because I wanted to maintain that relationship, that or that aspect of our relationship at the very least. So, you know, I don't think you have to have, you know, 100 dicks in your vagina or 100 pussies on your vagina, I mean, excuse me, on your penis in order to be a good lover. You know, you could just have a good lover or good rhythm. I think if you're like a dancing sort and you have nice fluidity to your body, like certain things, you know, your body just automatically will do too.
What?
So there's
that. I used to think that until I banged an Alan Ailey dancer and shit, and it was like fucking a fucking fish. Like, she needed a lot and lots of motivation.
Well, but Alan Ailey did a lot of, you know, modern dance too. So did you get one of the modern dancers, or did you get one of the ones that did the African, you know, bumbaka dances and whatnot?
She was,
or, yeah,
but she did ballet.
Belly dancing. Well, you know, belly dancers are very precise. Maybe she was like jackhammering you. She was trying to, you know, change you.
No, not belly. Not belly.
You know, the ballet dancers aren't really known for, they're really not known for their booty shaking though. And, you know, they're not really known for their organic movements either, so.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Whenever.
The bitch danced, but I had to leave.
It's okay.
You had to leave?
I said she danced, but I had to lead.
That's okay. Mm. That's okay. Did she eventually, you know, catch on, or was she, you know, kind of stuck in her ways?
Yeah, she was pretty much a dead stick.
Oh.
Oh,
okay.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It didn't last long. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I will give you 3 chances to get motivated. You know what I mean? I'll give you 3 chances to get motivated. If I can motivate you in 3 different sessions, then I deem you uncoachable. You're pretty much uncoachable, and I cut you from the team.
Okay.
I mean, what's the point? Like, life is too short for shitty sex.
I would say that it's very tough to hang on to a relationship when you're not physically compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're a person who has a lot of anxieties or stresses, like, and you look forward to that stress relief, and it winds up being more stress than it is relief.
Listen, if your sex is garbage, you can't tell me shit in a relationship. Nothing. You can't tell
me
nothing.
Like having bad eyebrows in life?
You can't tell me shit. You can't. You're not allowed to nag. Like, nothing. Nothing. You better not say shit to me.
Well, let's role play.
I'm petty
Let's
as fuck.
Play. I want to see how that plays out. Okay, what? I'm going to nag you. Let me see.
Okay.
Oh, my God, Terry. I've been working all day. You've been home all day, and you ain't make me any dinner?
I will feed you this dick, but you can't suck dick. So shut up and make your own dick.
Oh, my God, Terry. You didn't walk the dog this morning, and he peed all over the sofa.
You won't even let me pee on you. Fuck you.
Oh,
get out of my face.
No. I said
one more.
One more. Oh, my God. Back hurts so much. Why don't you give me a massage? You're so unsupportive.
Fuck you.
Give me a massage. Basically. Oh, my God. We're going to break up.
I would have an attitude all the time. Like, I would start arguments just so I could bring up the fact that your sex is bad.
Yeah, you might as well break up.
Right.
You know,
this video relationship is not going to work.
Like, I'm petty as fuck. And you're not going to want to be, you're not going to live with me in my petty ways, but for so fucking long. You're going to
leave. Yeah. Yeah. You got too much petty confetti to throw around.
Petty confetti.
Honor it up.
Mm.
Body counts. I don't know what to tell you about them. My thing is, I go back to where I said before: is don't ask questions you don't want to know the answers to.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, you know,
I mean, like the caller said before, if they came out of whatever the fuck kind of fuck spree that they went through between their college years. You know what I mean? And their fucking early 30s. You know, let them have that. If they came out of that shit unscathed, without any motherfucking STDs or any fucking cross droppings or any fucking psychological damage, you know what I mean? Let them fucking have that. You know what I mean? Ain't none of your fucking business. There's none of your fucking business. Because if I told you the number of people and shit who know the taste of my dick and balls, it'll fucking frighten you.
Well, yeah, especially after you said you had an illegal amount of head.
Right. I mean, it'll fucking frighten you. So
I don't get women who give blowjobs with nothing in return. Like that's never a part of my sexual nuance. Like, I'm gonna get on my knees. Potentially get some knee burns from the rug, some rug burns, and I'm a kiss you, mwah, mwah, and then I'm going to suck on your penis, and yeah, I'm always going to be happy that the man that I'm with is happy, but my ass need to be happy too. Shit, what? I'm going to suck your penis and not get
happy.
I have an exception to that. There's women that don't like, well, I'm saying in return, reciprocal oral. I'm not big on it. So.
I know what you're saying.
Nothing in return,
yeah,
right? Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I've only had maybe one or two guys who ever really did that well. So. You know, if I don't get head, that's fine. I actually meant sex. Like, fuck me. Like, when you put your penis in my mouth, you're getting a nice vacuum sealed pack. Your shit is going to be fine. I need for that log to be in my fucking fire. If I'm getting wet and hot and horny, then no, don't put your tongue down there. Your tongue may give me, like, what, 4 inches of pleasure? Fuck that. Shit. No.
Did you
4 inches? But, you know,
you need penetration. You need to be
right.
Busted.
I need to feel the weight of my man's body on me. I need to feel that sweat. I need you in me. I want to hear that moaning. I want to hear the skin peeling from each other. Like, I need all that shit. And I can't do that
except
if you give me head.
Because then she says they're shanking her.
All right, but see, listen here. This is why the world needs sluts.
Yeah, they said a purpose.
No, listen. God bless sluts. Like, and I can't say that shit enough. I'm dead serious. God bless them. The world needs them. I wish there were more fucking of them. Because everything you just said, Mahogany, like,
yeah.
That is the difference between, like, just a regular old nasty chick and a true blue apple pie eating American fucking slut.
I'm a slut. Oh my God.
Because
That's awesome.
You're not. You're absolutely.
Okay.
Because see, here's the thing. Here's the difference.
You have standards, Mahogany. Okay. You're not a slut.
Here's the difference.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
here's the difference. Like when you,
I was confused.
When you suck a dick, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you suck a dick, you get gratification of making him feel good, right?
Right.
But you also want to make you feel good by him fucking you, right?
Senseless, yes.
Right. Whereas a slut, a true blue, great North American slut.
Grade A.
will suck a dick for her. It's for her. Pleasing him is just a fucking byproduct and a bonus. She is sucking that dick for her because she wants a dick in her mouth. She wants it. She fucking craves it. She woke up that fucking morning and said, I am going to suck some dick today.
Okay, sir.
Huh?
I said, okay, sir.
I'm telling you some real shit. And they're out there. They're out there in droves, and God bless them. Like, I think all sluts should get 3 bus passes.
Shut up. They should get what?
Shut up. Free bus passes.
Free bus passes. All sluts should get 3 bus passes and, like, half price on lip gloss. All of them.
Oh, my gosh.
All of them.
The blowjob?
All of them.
Burt's Bees wax.
I mean, I think that should be that they should like that. That should be part of like, put that shit in the constitution.
Wow.
It should be in the constitution. Domestic terrorism.
If sluts are getting bus passes and lip gloss, I'm gonna need me a brand new car every month for the pleasure that I give when I'm giving pleasure. I'm just saying.
Nah, son.
Yeah. We need to be rewarded.
See, you're not a true blue car carrying. I am going
Grade
to
Grade A
you.
Limited edition slip.
Right. I am going to
Grade
like
A,
you like in order to be like a real slut, like you gotta suck dick because you have a headache.
Shut up.
Like, ooh, this headache. That's
like a leaf not working.
You know
ibuprofen not working.
Let me go get it. She can't go another moment without gagging on some dick. Like, and they're the ones who suck the dick and shit. And like, it sounds like a fat kid. Like eating dinner.
Shush.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the thing, if they were sitting,
okay, this is
like
disturbing.
If, Like if they were sitting in a high chair, like if they were sitting in a high chair, they'd be swinging their feet and shit. Like,
I'm clutching my imaginary pearls right now.
Right.
Oh my God. But yeah, man. God
bless.
Dude
is too much.
God bless everyone.
Dude is too much.
God bless.
Way, way too much.
So,
way too much.
How are we looking over there on callers?
None. But I do want to encourage our callers to call in every week. I know today was an off day or whatever because of last night's technical issues, but I'm always grateful for the people that do call in, like Mahogany, and make our show more interesting. So thank you.
You're welcome. I love calling in.
Yeah, so we're going to end the show a few minutes early tonight.
Alrighty.
Like Yaya said, we appreciate each and every one of you that call in and listen in.
Or
and,
just listen.
Your input and your opinions are always welcome. Thanks for tuning in to the Big Brace and Circus. We will see you all at our regular time next week.
Have a good birthday, sir. We know we won't talk to you before then, so enjoy your birthday.
Yeah.
Live it up.
All right, Mom, I'll have an update when the time comes.
Alrighty. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.